looking at the subject of living in the light, and I share about seeing the fruit of living in that light, so that goodness, righteousness, and truth would be evident in us. It was so that we would actually reflect God and not ourselves, that people will see Christ in us. It's like the woman who was stressed out. She was driving to get to her destination, but the car in front of her, it stopped at an amber light, even though he could have accelerated and beat the red light. The woman behind him, she hit the roof. She started blasting her horn. She was screaming abuse at the man because she missed her chance at getting through the lights. While she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window, and when she looked round, she seen a policeman standing there. And he asked her to step out of the car, and he told her that she was coming down to the police station with him. So she then got her fingerprints taken. She was searched, photographed, and then placed in a holding cell. After a couple of hours, her cell was opened, and she was taken along to the booking desk, where the policeman who arrested her was actually waiting. He was waiting there with all her personal belongings, and as he handed them over to her, he said, "I'm very sorry for this mistake. You see, when I pulled up behind your car, while you were shouting abuse at the car in front, along with blasting your horn, I then noticed the stickers on your car. What would Jesus do?" And this other one, it said, "Follow me to Sunday school." He says, "When I seen those, along with the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the boot, actually I thought, you must have stole this car." Just an example of how our light can be dimmed. So how can we live as light while we're residing in a dark world? Well, let's see what Paul says to the Ephesians. We're reading from Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 1 to 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse talking, joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." You know, it's one thing, it's natural for children to imitate their parents. Children often have their parents' nature, their behaviour, and their actions. You can actually be around a child and see that their parents, in the way they walk, the way they talk, and the things that they do, they pick up things from them. They start to imitate, whether they realise it or not. And while that is true of our earthly families, it's also true in our heavenly families. As beloved children who are never near their parent physically, we can learn, observe, and grow as we draw near to our Heavenly Father, so that we might learn His ways and become more like Him. Paul exhorts us to be imitators of God, or followers of God, as some other versions say. The word "follow" means to mimic, to be an imitator. So this is a command for God's people to imitate Him. We are to learn all we can about God and imitate His characteristics. Of course, you cannot imitate a person if you don't know anything about them. So we must learn all we can about the Lord from His Word. From there, it's putting into practice everything that we know about Him. We are to do the things that we see Him doing, and we are to avoid the things that He avoids. In reality, God is commanding us to do something that's actually impossible within ourselves. But if it's, you know, if it's just left up to us, we could never be imitators of God. We simply cannot do it through our own power. You might try, you might do no bad for a while, it will fade. We need the power of God. So while we can't be holy on our own, as redeemed children of God, we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to live like Him, to act like Him, walk like Him, and talk like Him. God has empowered us and enabled us to live holy lives for His glory. You know, living in a dark world will always be a challenge to us. And therefore, we need the love of God all the more to support, strengthen, and help us when we are in that time of need. You know, there are many scriptures that give us assurance and remind us time after time of the security that we have in Him. We are not told that we're going to live in a protective bubble. As much as I'm sure we'd like that, it's not going to happen. But God is with us, even in the dark times and in those places where we are struggling. In Psalm 18, verse 28, it says, "You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." And then in Micah 7, verse 8, where he says, "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." Again, we are reminded through the word of God that He is the one who will bring that light into our lives. So each time we're reminded, it's not about our strength or our abilities. God is the one who turns darkness into light. His word is a lamp for our path. Even when we're sitting in a dark place, the Lord will be our light. You know, we're not slaves just following in the footsteps of a demanding master. We are sons and daughters of God. Hear that? You're sons and daughters of the living God. We have been saved from darkness by His grace. We have been adopted into His family. And it's in that place that we learn about His nature and also learn how to imitate His love that it may be seen in us. God's very nature is defined by His love. Everything that He does out of love. As His children, we are to walk then in that love. So how do we know that we are walking in love? The Bible's clear about this. When Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 21, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. When I love him, I will be like him. When I am like him, I will love like he loves." Depending where you're at this morning, perhaps you feel you're more of a spectator rather than part of the family. Perhaps you want more of this love that only God can give. This love that we're speaking about this morning. Today, that can also be the change that happens for us. We are going to give an opportunity after the message for anyone who feels that they're more in that place of being a spectator and wants to be a receiver of this love, that we're more than happy to pray with you. And even if you find that you're in a dark place and you want prayer that you may be brought back into the light of Christ, we want to stand with you and help you get back into that place, back into His light. But first, I want to share something of my own story, something that's still being written, just as yours is. In Ephesians 5:8, we read earlier, says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord as children of light." You know, when I first got saved back in May 1980, I had no idea that I was in darkness. No idea that I was in a dark place. I was clueless to the truth. Some might say I'm still clueless, but that's another story. But clueless to the truth of God, that the way that I lived was led by the world around me. I pursued happiness through my family, my work, and my friends. And I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. In fact, my brother and I, we used to come up with this saying about, we'd refer to each other as GWG, as a good wee guy. That's genuinely where we thought of ourselves. We didn't do anybody any harm, so you've seen yourself as a good wee guy. Grace later became a good wee gal, so we still had the word GWG to follow through in that. But you know, that's because the world encourages us to think like that. It'll tell you, go your own way. Don't let anyone dictate how you should live. Just be yourself. That was until the Word of God finally sunk in. Hearing the gospel message at an evangelistic crusade was actually when I least expected it. Going to an evangelistic crusade, how naive was that? Not knowing really what to expect. I was given the choice that evening of having a life with God or a life without Him. Remaining in the dark or enter into His glorious light. Really, it sounds like a no-brainer. And that is put out to many people, you know, time and time and time again. But it still comes down to making a choice. You're given that choice. Even believers are faced with this. I'm sure we all know many people who have made the choice to turn their back on God. They may still believe in Him, but the darkness is more attractive. But you know, we actually just don't like to think of it that way. I don't like to think of it that way, but that's the truth. And perhaps we need to recognize the attraction that the darkness has when we live in a place that just accepts, you know, that's the way life is. The enemy will lead you to a place where you stop praying for your lost family and friends. You see, they've made that choice, it's up to them, instead of constantly bringing them back before the Lord. The enemy will convince you because the pull of the world is just too strong. He'll tell you, he'll remind you of that time and time again. It may be too strong for us, but it is not for Him. Which is why we must come before Him and seek Him for those who are lost. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." Let us not give up praying for one another. Let us not give up praying for those that we know who are still in that place of darkness. Now, we cannot deny that even for us here today, there will have been days when the disappointment in others leads you to a place where you begin to think, I've had enough, I'm giving this up. Let me remind you of something that you will already know. People will always disappoint. It's a fact of life. People will always disappoint. But Jesus won't. And that's why that needs to be that element in us that is going to turn around from the place that we can often find ourselves dragged into. People will let us down. People will disappoint, but Jesus won't. And when we can start to live in that, that will help us transform our thinking and to recognize that pull that the darkness would try and have on us. When God works in our life, He reveals the truth of a transformation of someone coming from the darkness into the light of Christ. Jesus invites us to come close to Him so that we can observe Him carefully. And when you read the Gospels and when you meditate on them deeply, you get a front row view of Jesus. a front row view of his life. You will gain an understanding of how he related to his father and to others. We learn the things that he prioritized, how he prayed, how he handled the scriptures, how he viewed sin and the world, also how he lived selfishly and he loved sacrificially. We can then draw on lessons and examples from his life while we examine our own. You know, Jesus' example can help us. Soon you'll be in a place where you'll be imitating him, doing what he did, feeling the very things that he felt, having that compassion for others as he did. When enemies taunt you, you'll be able to pray for them and actually show love for them. When you're tired, you will find the strength to pray. And as we trust deeply in God, when we're suffering, we will be able to endure, just as Jesus did for us. You know, imitators of Christ can turn the world upside down. And there needs to be something in us that's stirred to realize that, you know what, you and I can make a difference. Imitators of Christ can turn the world upside down. When I first accepted Christ as my Savior, I wasn't aware that I had been living in a dark world. But I knew there was something that did change in me after that evening when I made that choice. My conscience started to let me know the things that I was doing that was wrong. Beforehand, stealing from my employer was simply a perk of the job. Lying my way out of something was just some, you know, everybody does it. There's no harm in it. We all do it. That is, until you get caught. Perhaps even telling a dirty joke, or coarse joking, as the Bible describes it. Doing that got a laugh, got you accepted by everybody, and therefore you mucked in with the rest. There are things like that that would just simply draw you into that place. These are the very things that would try and draw us back into that place. You know, we sang earlier that great is the darkness that covers the earth. And that's the truth. So I can tell you this morning, I need the light of Christ to keep me out of that place. You and I need the light of Christ to keep us out of that place. There'll always be that pull, there'll always be that draw that says, oh, go on, join in, nobody will notice, you'll be accepted. But all these things will start to draw you back in, and you have to fight with it, because in that moment, you will have to make the choice. Will I go back in to the darkness, those things that the world are happy with to accept, and perhaps even accept you because of it? Or will we turn to reflect the light of Christ? Will we reject that and turn to him to help us in that moment, to make the decision, to make the choice? No, I'm not going to go back down that road again. There's this challenge that we live with daily, that we live with it every day because we're surrounded by it. Great is the darkness that covers the earth. And therefore, all the more reason we need the light of Christ to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. As I said, I need the light of Christ to keep me out of that place. What about you? What about you? You know, we're going to return to worship again. If you want to come back up. As I said earlier, if you would like prayer, then we'd be happy to support you and pray with you. The elders and deacons are aware of this opportunity. If you just come out the front, either that side or that side, somebody will come and pray with you. You know that life is filled with choices. Filled with choices. But when we make the choice about following Christ, we need all the support we can get. I know I need it, and hopefully you recognize that as well, that we need that kind of support. We need one another. We need to be strengthened. We need to be encouraged. As Scripture says, iron sharpens iron. We want to be sharp. We want to be able to cut through the darkness and find ourselves illuminating wherever we find ourselves. You know, just to know and be in the light and the love of Christ will enable you and I to live in the light and absolutely reject the darkness. Reject it. So as we turn to worship now, because that offer, if anybody would like to come out for prayer, then please do that. Thank you.
While we reflect on the sermon and what God said to us personally, let's continue in our time of worship, so feel free to stand.
And I love, and I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King. Y'all, let's stand, let's sing that again. Well, I love.